Welcome, welcome, Joshua Brown. 323-646, 323-646. How are you doing, sir?
Yes, I still remember part of my phone number. All right, I'm not like the person in the White House now. I'm not senile. But anyway, and I do not appreciate ever listening to that asshole, Charlemagne the God, little punk ass. But anyway, part of the problem.
Radio, DJ,
One Nation, One Station.
Thank you, thank you.
How you
now,
doing,
normally
family?
I would read your... I am blessed and favored and having a really, really good time, really good day. Missing my best friend, but yeah, you know, life goes on. But I normally what I would do is read portions of your bio, but because Judge Chabran is in the building and I don't like to keep him waiting, I'll let you give us a short version of it and also just introduce the subject matter, the way that it was discussed, you know, last night, however you want to expand the conversation, that's up to you. But you had a very, very unique way that you introduced it back into today's hot topic, so I want to give you a chance at this time to talk a little bit about yourself. And then, yeah, let's just get started.
All right, well, I can make my bio very quick. I was born in Dallas, Texas, brought to Houston, Texas at the age of 3, raised in the Fifth Ward community of Houston, and I'm a product of North Forest Independent School District, graduated from Forest Brook Senior High School in 1990. Went on to get a bachelor's in business and finances from American Intercontinental University in 2011-2012, and then I received a master's in the sciences of law from Champlain College in 2015. I am 49 years old, a father of 3 sons, 27, 28, and 20. So also the creator of the People's Law Study Group, former host of the Know Thyself radio show on the Know Thyself radio network on Blog Talk. And that just about sums it up for me. I do a lot in the community. I'm part of Rotary International. I'm the president. I was the president last year of the Herman Park Rotary Club. I am now forming a new club called the Rotary Club of Houston's Third Ward. I'm also the assistant governor for the Galleria River Oaks Rotary Club and the Houston International Rotary Club.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Gosh, there is so much to discuss. We'll see. We'll see where Judge takes it, because I definitely want to talk about China and their irrational fear of a black invasion. It's really, really sad. Things are going on today that you don't even know where to start, so you just do your best to unpack it to the best of your ability. But you said something last night during a pre-show that kind of sort of inserted reparations back into the conversation. Could you share that with us as we expand? And then I'm going to open up the mic and allow Judge to partake in the conversation as well.
Okay, we were discussing reparations for Black America last night. And I noticed some of the definition have kind of changed over time. But reparations basically was payments paid to individuals normally after war. They were given some type of, if they were harmed by another country or whatever, they were paid for that. Now, they've kind of changed the definition. It says the act of making amends, offering expiation of giving satisfaction for a wrong or injury. So at any rate, when you look at it, I was listening to the clip that you were playing that was talking about reparations. Well, the act that where they paid the Japanese, the United States was directly involved. So when you start talking about slavery, the United States was indirectly involved because they inherited the slave issue. The United States was not born until July 4th, 1776. Slavery had already been on the continent since the 1600s, or maybe the 1500s. I have to go back and check the exact date. But at any rate, the government never owned any slaves. When you start talking about the Japanese and the bombing of Pearl Harbor and all that, then that was directly done by the government. But the federal government, the United States government, never owned any slaves. They inherited. So the people that owned slaves were individuals and private corporations. That's who the slave owners were. So with that being said, it would be hard to look directly at the federal government And as I also said, what I thought was outstanding in my opinion, basically, is that slavery was abolished within 89 years. Slavery was a split decision even when the country was formed. The first document that was ever written upon the United States was called Articles of Association, which was written in October of 1775. And that was to King George, basically trying to, what's the word I'm looking for, trying to negotiate with him the issues over in the colonies. And it's mentioned even in that Articles of Association, which most people are not familiar with. Most people are familiar with the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the United States Constitution. But the Articles of Association was actually the first document written. It talks about slavery in that document, and it talks about the colonies not wanting even a part of it or wanting to rid from its institution. So with that being said, the country was split when it first started. So we endured what we call chattel slavery for 89 years and then that abolished. But the federal government itself never owned any slaves. There were laws, and because they inherited those things, there were laws or slave laws that took place, but within that period, slavery abolished. So I don't see how reparations would be paid if you look into the government and the government never owned any slaves. These are things that we were talking about last night.
All right. I appreciate you so much. All right. So for the sake of time, I want to go and open up the mic. So while I do that and prepare to open up Judge's mic, I want you guys to enjoy this audio.
So for decades, there's been a debate over whether the U.S. should pay reparations to descendants of slaves. Now, it's a 2020 campaign issue.
Several candidates have actually gone on the popular radio show The Breakfast Club to address the issue. In a new interview, I talked to the show's co-host, Charlemagne the God, about what he thinks.
I mean, for people to act like reparations is such a far-fetched thing is crazy. Because if you were working for a company and you worked for that company for free, for a long period of time, you would probably want back pay, you know, because of all the work that you put in. And then you got, you know, Jim Crow segregation, and you have mass incarceration. You have all of these things that were systemically done to black people to oppress them, to marginalize them. And we wonder why there's so many socioeconomic, there's such a socioeconomic gap now between black people and white people. It's because of that. It's because of those policies that America implemented. It's because of that free labor we put in, you know, free labor that we were forced to do that helped build this country. So America needs to pay what they owe, you know. And like I said, it don't have to be in check form, but just acknowledging it, you know. Acknowledging the idea that y'all did something wrong to a group of people, and let's start over, apologize, you know, you reveal it, and then we can heal it. And then we can really get to a equal playing field in this country.
So if one of these presidential candidates does not support, for example, reparations, they don't get your support.
You know, I thought about that, right? And I thought about that because everybody got mad at Bernie because Bernie said he...
Because he didn't really give you a full-on answer.
Yeah, but I think what Bernie was saying is true. Bernie was like, what does that look like? And that's one thing. Like you said, it's buzzwords. Don't be just throwing the word around. Yeah, I support reparations. What does that mean, though?
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like? You know, like, what does that look like, Elizabeth Warren, to you? What does that look like, Kamala Harris, to you? What does that look like, you know, Bernie Sanders, to you? What does that actually look like? So when I hear somebody say they don't support it, it turns me off. And the only reason it turns me off is because they're not even supporting the idea of dismantling white supremacy. Because it's not really about reparations. It's just about America acknowledging the wrong that they did to a group of people and then trying to make it right. And we act like black people have never been offered reparations. They offered us our 40 eggs and a mule, they just took it back.
Right.
You know? Right. And there's things out there like H.R. 40 that are right there that could at least be looked at and reviewed. So, yeah, I want to know if these candidates are going to push
right,
things
so it's
like
not
that
just
through.
Yeah, I support it. It's, yeah, what does it look like to you, and what does it mean to you? What does it mean, frankly, to the American people?
Yeah, and acknowledging it. Don't just say, nah, I'm not for reparations. I'm not for giving black people checks, because you're not even paying attention to what is actually being said. It's not about giving people checks. It's about acknowledging the fact that America did something wrong to a group of people and actually trying to figure out how to make it right. What does that look like?
All right. Well, that's it. It ended there. And Warren, if we don't get a chance today, I definitely want to talk to you about what he addressed, because last night he made a very, very important statement. It was very relevant to the hour when you talked about the racial wealth gap. And who is responsible for that? So he kind of sort of touched on it by way of socioeconomic inequality. But I would love, absolutely love, just as an aside to go that direction. But we need to talk about money and what we need to do to build our community, especially financially. All right, so guys, welcome, welcome. Wait, I want to make sure. Warren, you still with me? Make sure.
I'm
Warren?
Here. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you were just dead quiet. I didn't know if I had lost you or not. But welcome, welcome, Joshua Brown. 323-646. How are you doing, sir?
Yes, I still remember part of my phone number. All right. I'm not like the person in the White House now. I'm not senile. But anyway, and I do not appreciate ever listening to that asshole, Charlemagne the God, little punk ass. But anyway, part of the problem. Counselor, I understand your opinion. I appreciate it. I see the trail of logic that you have in there. It's sound. I have a differing opinion, but I'd like to propose this. Black folk could get a very effective form of reparations if you would take that Equality Act, snatch gay out of it, and put black in there. However, that doesn't seem to be the case. We keep thinking of this as a lawsuit, and what's actually needed is a political solution which would result in an appropriations and enablement act by Congress. We're not likely to get it, but I found it interesting that a couple of years ago when they had that big charade on where all the usual suspect clowns were debating on whether to have a committee to study reparations, not 14 business days later, the House and Senate, without debate on the first voice vote, passed a bill they styled the Reparations Act for Gays. They've outlawed affirmative action for black folk effectively, but they turn right around and put affirmative action in fourfold more vigorously for gays and pedophiles, transvestites, lesbians, and bisexuals in terms of actual benefits than they ever did for black people. I find that interesting. So maybe what we need to talk about is likelihood or non-likelihood of there being an Appropriations and Enablement Act by Congress that would have to be signed off on by the president in question, or whoever's in office, rather, and passed muster in the courts and survive the lawsuits that are bound to be filed against it by various and sundry states. Maybe that's the problem. We did get reparations. January 14, 1865, General Sherman signed an order in the Military District of the South over which he had charge, and he ordered the award of one army mule and 40 acres of confiscated rebel land to each black family, with a provision for newly married black men, former slaves, to make their claim for 40 acres and one mule. Commanding General Grant approved it. Commander-in-Chief Abraham Lincoln approved it. The Republican House and Senate passed appropriations to make it subject to effective administration. It was going fine until about June of that year, when new President Andrew Johnson of Tennessee, who succeeded to the presidency after the assassination of Lincoln, decided as commander of what was still a military district, or commander-in-chief, rather, of the armed forces, he entered in an executive order abolishing it. So we did have reparations at one point, awarded by the U.S. government based on confiscated land and the award of taxpayers paid for Army mules. You know, sometimes I think I might like the interest on the reasonable value as per 1865 of 40 acres of prime land, one Army mule compounded semi-annually at a reasonable rate. That might be rather decent reparations, but then again, it is what it is. So in your opinion, we're not likely to get it, and there's no legal pathway to getting it. Okay. Now, next subject we have. What do you think about this Equality Act? I'm interested.
I hope you're enjoying this big exclusive via the Judge Joe Brown Show. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Now, back to the show.
This show is sponsored by the Hurricane Reports, Merchandise, and more.